Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Welcome, friends, to the GC Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and with me is my podcast buddy, Joe Brannan. Joe is the lead pastor at Crosswalk Community Church, which will soon be replanted into a new neighborhood with a new name, GC Surrey Hills. His name and his voice will sound familiar to you because until recently, he was the host of GC Podcast. So, Joe, let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous were you to hand the reins of your podcast baby over to me?
Oh, boy. Let me tell you, we should probably talk about that offline if you want my true answer, but I guess... No, I was not nervous at all. You're the right guy to hand it off to, Anthony, and I've been super, super happy and pleased.
Oh, please go on. But no, we have other things to talk about. You are now a lead pastor and have been for a few months now. So how is pastoral ministry life for Joe Brannan?
Man, it has been a really fun ride. It really has. I don't know if it's the honeymoon period right now, but... You know, I've been in this position for about 2.5 months. It's nice being back home. This is our home area, so close to family. The kids are adapting really well. And, you know, we got a lot of really fun stuff that's really going on. You know, we're restructuring to be team-based, pastor-led. There's a lot of alignment and clear lines of communication that's going on in our church. But, you know, Anthony, what I find to be the foundational reason for our quote-unquote success right now is Jesus. I'm continually in awe with how the divine meets us personally in the common areas of our lives, just like what Daishan and Kara talk about in this episode, you know, communion. The divine joins us in an intimate, common place, the dinner table.
Yeah, the dinner table is an awesome place, and we are going to be talking about communion today. Thanks for bringing that up. And so I'm curious, especially in light of this recording, we're recording in late March. This will go live in April. And right now we're in the throes of a pandemic, the coronavirus. And I'm just curious, from your perspective as a pastor, what does communion look like and what role does it play in terms of developing relationships with your neighbors and standing in solidarity with them, especially with what's going on?
You know, this is a really tough time that we're going through all across the globe. And as pastors, you know, we're really trying to navigate through this because all of us, or at least most of us, have never gone through anything like this. And as difficult and heartbreaking as tragedy can be, what it does is it strips away what doesn't belong, what doesn't matter. And it's what I find, Anthony, is it's through tragedy and trying times that, you know, our lives become refined to what matters most. You know, so during this particular time with this pandemic, where there's this unknownness, this fear and anxiety, we're seeing shelves being stripped clean. Hoarding is occurring, etc., we're actually able to see what the basic needs are for humanity. And just like communion, we can look at it as being our common union with the divine and humanity, but also the common union with humanity to humanity. So as believers, we know our common union is with Christ. And through this difficult time with the virus, we can see our common union as humanity is relationship, which, Anthony, as you and I know, is truly in and through our triune God.
Amen to that, brother. And we stand in solidarity with you. I appreciate your insights. Keep doing what you're doing in pastoral ministry there in Surrey Hills, Oklahoma. You know, it's like Martin Luther, the German theologian, said, God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbors do. And now more than ever with what we're facing. So thank you for your insights. And I don't care what your church members say about you. You are one good dude. Don't let them tell you otherwise. So with that, Let's now listen to the interview I conducted with Pastor Dyshawn Mills and Kara Garrity about communion.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of GC Podcast, a podcast devoted to exploring practical ministry experience and exploration in the context of Grace Communion International and its churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and today I have the awesome privilege of interviewing two of my favorite people in the entire Commonwealth of Massachusetts. That's right, the entire state. Now, in full disclosure, I don't know many people from Massachusetts, but I imagine if I did, these two people would still be at the top. I'm talking about Dyshawn Mills, who serves as the lead pastor of Grace Christian Church, a GCI congregation in Waltham, Mass., and his partner in crime, though he calls her partner in ministry, Kara Garrity, who is the assistant pastor of Grace Christian Church and also works full-time for our denomination, Grace Communion International, as the overall development coordinator. So she oversees leadership development programs for emerging generations around the world. It's so great to have both of you on this podcast as we talk about the topic of communion, the Eucharist, the Lord's table, whatever you have labeled it in your faith tradition. It is the wonderful mystery of coming to the table of fellowship and receiving the strength, the grace, and the fortitude of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before we get into the topic at hand today, I just want to say hi to Dyshawn and Kara. Dyshawn, how in the world are you, and what is it you're celebrating in this season of your life?
Hey, Anthony. So glad to be on the podcast. Thank you for inviting me. I'm doing pretty fantastic. I'm a little afraid about how this podcast is going to go, but I believe in God. He can do great things, you know, even bringing Kara and I together. But one thing I'd love to celebrate right now is my daughter is going to be graduating from high school this year. And that is the most wonderful and horrible thing that's ever happened to me in a long time. So she is ready. She's already got accepted to one school, and I'm so proud. We serve an incredible God.
Yes, we do. And you should be afraid, very afraid, Dyshawn. This is a big deal, the GC Podcast.
That's right.
No, I tease. How about you, Kara? How are you, and what can we celebrate with you?
I am doing very well, and right now, I can always find things to celebrate, but right now, I think one of the major things I'm celebrating is health and community, as I'm recovering from a joint surgery that I had a few weeks ago. The community that God has brought me has really rallied around me to support me and care for me in this process. So I'm thankful that he's made us in community with one another and with him.
Amen. And speaking of community, really, the Eucharist, the table of Thanksgiving, is all about community. But before we get into the practical implications of communion in your church, let's talk about you personally and why communion matters to you. And I'll start with you, Dyshawn. I know it's important to you, but why?
Well, through communion, Jesus is truly present. And so I don't know everything there is to know about communion. I can study it the whole rest of my life and not exhaust all there is to know about it. So I'm telling you what I know so far, and that is a startling truth that I'm still trying to wrap my mind around. When we participate in communion, Jesus is truly present. He said, "This is my body, this is my blood." And so it's a sacrament because it's a mystery. We can't fully understand how it happens, but when we participate in communion, sort of the fabric between that divides the spirit and the flesh becomes super, super thin. It crosses over, it intersects. And so for me personally, when I participate in communion, I am drawing nearer to God in a way that I can't really in most other ways. I mean, it's very unique in that. It's a type of connection to God that I can't get anywhere else. And every time it's special, every time it's new, every time it's beautiful.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the word participate. two or three times. And I'm curious if you would unpack that a little bit for our listening audience. What does it look like to participate in communion?
With communion, it's a representation of Christ's redemptive work. And when I take communion, I am participating in that representation of Jesus's death and resurrection. I am participating in that act. And because I participate in it, it becomes more real, tangible. It's not just an academic exercise. I participate in his body and I participate in his blood in a way that is real and transformative in my life.
Yeah, I like what you said about it being real. And so I'll turn to you, Kara. What makes it real for you? Why does communion matter?
As Jean said, communion is something that is so rich and meaning to me. And one of the things that makes it most real and is one of the most significant aspects of celebrating communion to me is this idea of the remembrance. And I like the way that Sean put it, of the representation of Jesus's humanity. There's something that is so deeply significant to me that the elements of communion are representative of Jesus's flesh and of his blood. And to me, that reminds me that, you know, we have a God who's not far off. We have a God who put on human flesh for us. And because of that, he understands the human experience. And to me, that reminds me of a solidarity and an intimacy that Jesus has with us in humanity, that he really is Emmanuel, God with us. And so for me, that remembrance of his humanity, his solidarity with us, his presence with us, and then our participation in that, our active response to that, to say, yes, I want to be in communion with Jesus's risen and redeemed humanity is so significant to me. And to me, it's an act of intimacy and in relationship with him.
You know, I'm struck as I listen to both of you talk about this encounter with our Lord, both risen and ascended, and I hear things like participation and intimacy, how meaningful it is. It is a meaningful thing to come and receive what the Lord has for us. And I know for your church there in Waltham, you've recently transitioned to offering communion every week in your worship celebration. Can you share the backstory of that? What brought about this change? And what difference, if any, have you seen in the life of your church as a result of this?
Sure. I think, Kara, you can speak for yourself, but I think she was there before I was. I think this is something that she was thinking about. And I took a class called A Practice of Ministry with Ted Johnston. And Ted is pretty amazing. And part of the class was talking about communion. And during that class, I got, and he teaches that through Grace Communion Seminary. And through that class, I got convicted. One of the points that he talked about was the frequency of communion and how it had the having communion once a month or less frequently is a fairly modern convention, that the early church had it very frequently. And once I started to dig into what communion actually meant, I could not come to any other conclusion that we should be doing this on a weekly basis.
Yeah, this word repentance comes to my mind, Daishan,
yes,
that
yes.
The Spirit is constantly changing our mind. And one of the things I hear, maybe both of you can speak to this, is, you know, if we as a church hold communion every week, it will lose some of its, I don't know, sacredness or its specialness or its uniqueness because of the high frequency. What would you say maybe to a pastor or a church leader who's been wrestling with this? What would you say it's done for your church to have it every week?
Sure. I could go first. It's interesting that one of the points that Ted makes when he talks about is that we don't say the same thing about the sermon or the singing. We don't get tired of those things, but we feel like we could get tired of communion.
Well, you haven't heard me preach, though, Sean. Some people get tired of my preaching.
Never but, that, but go Anthony. Ahead. Never Continue. That. Never that. But I would submit to those who have that opinion to just give some consideration to what it took to truly redeem us and how really bad off we were, right? It took the activity of the Creator God putting on human flesh, becoming one of us, living as one of us, suffering as one of us, dying like one of us, and coming back to life so he could give us new life to make us good. So I think we often underestimate how desperately we need our Savior, how much we absolutely have to depend on him. And we need to find every way to redirect our thoughts away from ourselves and on Jesus. We need to jump at every opportunity to do so. And we need to remind ourselves continually that we are participants in Jesus's death and resurrection, because that frames every, not only our relationship with God, but it frames every interaction with another person. Every other person we interact is shaped by Jesus's redemptive work. And so I would say, and the last thing I would say, and I'm sorry if I'm speaking too long, but the last thing I would say is that, again, Jesus is truly present. What validates the word that I deliver, the sermon that I deliver, is that Jesus is real, that he really died and he really rose again. If that is not true, then everything that I've said in the sermon, you just throw that out, right? But in communion, it has to accompany, those things have to be together, because how else can you trust that what I'm saying is true unless Jesus is really present, that he's really real, that he really died, and that he really rose again? Those things are essential to me.
Hmm. Kara, what about you and the frequency of communion? What say you for the church?
Yes, I would co-sign everything that Daishan said, and add that idea or that fear that we have that communion might become boring or too tame, I think in some ways misses the point of communion and of this way that God has given us to remember him and to come together and remember him. Because even when we think about, well, first, I mean, it's not the ways that we do it that make it special and precious and holy. It's the truth that it points us to, the truth of who Jesus is and our redemption and reconciliation in him and the communion with him that he offered us. And I think it's a bit arrogant for us to think that the ways that we do communion could change the truth that it represents. And then in addition to that, when you think about the things that Jesus used to represent this incredible truth, this world-changing truth of who he is and the new life that he offers us, they were very ordinary things at the time. Bread and wine were found at every meal, at every table. And so in a way, I see embedded into celebration of communion is this idea of finding the holy in the ordinary, right? That we see that God is present with us and is communing with us in ordinary day-to-day, maybe sometimes even boring or mundane moments. And so I think that for me, that's part of it, is that we remember that he doesn't just be present with us in these hyper-spiritual moments where we feel on a spiritual or emotional high, but he meets us in, you know, the ordinariness of a piece of bread and a glass of wine at the dinner table. And I believe participating in that on a weekly basis is incredibly formative. To me, it reminds us and points us to the fact that he shows up in our ordinary moments all the time. And one of the things you asked the question of how we've seen this impact our local congregation. I've seen the complete opposite of people getting bored with participating in communion every week. I've seen an increase in joy around communion. I've seen an increase in fellowship as we take communion together. I've seen communion become more and more special in that sense, because we're continuously together as a church community, proclaiming and reminding ourselves and saying yes to that remembrance of who Jesus is. And I mean, can that grow stale? Can who Jesus Christ is grow stale or boring or mundane? I think so. And so I would emphasize what Daishan said for those who might be considering, this decision and this change in the flow of worship in a Sunday service, pray about it and be open to it and be open to what God might do.
Well, that's a powerful testament of the power of Jesus and the mystery of him meeting us at the table. And I so appreciated what you said, Kara. I mean, even if we don't do things perfectly, which we don't, or have just the right flow of things, God still is faithful to show up as Emmanuel. And regardless of how we offer the bread and the cup, the wonderful truth behind that is made manifest whether we do it right or not. And that is so encouraging, as someone who pastors a church myself. Even though we try and we work hard to have a beautiful flow to our worship celebration, God is faithful in the midst of that. And so since GC Podcast is a practical ministry expression, we do want to talk about, as you mentioned, sort of the flow of things. And I'm curious, in your church, and I'll start with Daishan, what does it look like? Where does communion, the Eucharist, come in terms of the flow of your worship celebration? What are the key elements? What do you say, sing, do that surrounds it? It'd be really helpful for maybe a pastor who is considering rethinking the way that they share communion. So whatever thoughts you have would be fantastic.
Sure. We have communion immediately after the sermon, and it is led by one of the elders of the congregation. I primarily lead communion, but other folks will lead it as well. Other elders will lead it as well. I actually want to back up. I had to do some teaching on communion before we did it weekly. I had to preach about it and teach about it a few times so the congregation would understand why we're making the switch. And we also had to set a schedule of people who would set up communion that would set it up in the right spirit, that would show up, not only show up on time, but realize the importance of communion and treat it with the respect it deserves. When we actually partake of communion, there's a brief word that reminds us about Jesus's redemptive work or who we are as a result of that work. There's a scripture that's often shared, and there's prayer right before we actually take communion to not only ask God to reinforce whatever message that he's given, but to also bless the elements and prepare us to receive them, that those elements would accomplish what Jesus set them out to do so many thousands of years ago. We would also, practically speaking, the congregation lines up. So we're a smaller congregation, so we could do this. And they form a line, and they take the bread and the wine, and they go back to their chairs. And we eat and then drink together. A few words are said as we eat and drink, and then we close out in prayer. But we're not locked into that format. I was playing with the idea of playing a song instead, or doing other things to make communion special. Usually on a special day, we'll have a special communion. So it's not rigid. It's pretty flexible. But we want to make sure that each time we take communion, we tell more of the story of who Jesus is and what he's done and who we are as a result of it. who we can be as the church as a result of what Jesus has done.
I find it fascinating that at the table of fellowship, we don't have anything to bring, do we? I mean, we've got nothing to offer God that God needs, because in the fellowship of Father, Son, and Spirit, He has everything. Yet He invites us into relationship with Him. And so, Daishan, I'm curious how you talk about communion as a response. And you've already said this numerous times, a receiving versus bringing something. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. The emphasis of communion, again, has to be what Jesus has done. That is the starting point of all ministry. That is the starting point of all fellowship. That is the starting point of all spiritual disciplines. Everything starts with Jesus and what He's done. And so when we come to the table, we are actually ingesting something, right? We are taking nourishment into it. Just as Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When we take communion, we are taking in the spiritual nourishment we need to follow Christ. And so we can bring nothing to the table in that. We have nothing to offer, but we in the eating and that bread and that wine become part of us on the cellular level. It transforms us from the inside out so that we can become more and more like Jesus. And so I think it's a beautiful way of causing that to happen, that we actually eat something and it becomes part of us and we take it in on the inside, because Jesus is our nourishment. He is our food. He is our sustenance and our strength.
Yeah, that's a good word. It's taste and see that the Lord is good, right? Oh, amen. And Kara, I've heard you lead a communion ceremony at least on two occasions, and I've always been inspired by the word the Spirit gives to you to share with your audience. So what do you emphasize when you talk about the table of fellowship, the table of our Lord?
Yes, I've already mentioned this. Often what I emphasize flows out of the meaning of communion that speaks most deeply to me. So in that way, sometimes I'm maybe a little bit biased. So I would have the self-awareness to say most frequently what I do emphasize when I talk about communion is the solidarity that it represents to me, that God has made with humanity in Jesus Christ, that it is an indicator that in Jesus Christ, God has thrown His towel in with us. He can't forsake us. He can't abandon us, because in Jesus Christ, He's one of us. And in His very own flesh, in His risen and redeemed humanity, we find this promise and hope in that promise that He's offering that very same redemption and reestablishment of communion with Him to us, and that it's an invitation to participate in that. And so that's often what I would emphasize, and then emphasizing that idea of invitation and our opportunity to say yes to that. I mean, the word participate has come up several times during our podcast today, and I think that's what it is. It's an invitation to say yes, to participate in the humanity of Jesus, to receive it, to allow Him to draw us in deeper, and to do that in a way where one of the things that I love about the celebration of communion during a service is we actually get up out of our seats, right? We go and we take the elements, and in our congregation we sit and we take the elements together. And so that's, we're even engaging in that kinesthetically with our bodies as we remember Jesus's body that was broken for us and His blood that was poured out for us, and that He was risen again in a redeemed human body for us. So I would say that, again, that idea of He's with us. We do not serve a God that is far away. And in communion, we get to remember that.
Yeah. So you mentioned invitation, and communion is the come and see aspect, a response to what the Lord has already been saying throughout the service. So let's get practical for a moment in terms of that invitation. Kara, who's invited to come to the table in your church, and how do you communicate that?
Yeah, in our congregation, you know, the way that we think about it in terms of like procedures and policies is, you know, people who are baptized believers, but in terms of what that looks like during a church service, I actually personally don't say that, and I don't think I've ever heard any of our elders say that. We say if, you know, something along the lines of, if you desire to worship God in this way today. So we're not checking baptism cards or anything like that. It's really an open table because we believe that Jesus's table is open to us. And to that end, one of the things practically that I think is important that we do is we give instructions for what's happening with communion. And in our congregation, we, as Zaishan mentioned, we're a smaller congregation. So it's very easy to spot if there's a guest with us that day. And so especially if there's a guest, one of the things that I make sure to do is to explain what communion means, which is part of, you know, what we typically do in terms of sharing a message or a scripture and things like that. And I make sure to give instructions, very practical instructions, like, well, we're going to line up on this side of the hall, and the outer ring is wine, and the inner ring is grape juice, and XYZ, so that people understand what's happening and they don't feel like something's just happening to them, because I believe that participating in communion shouldn't necessarily be something that's just a mistake that you stumbled into or was forced upon you because you didn't understand what was happening while you were a guest at a new service. But I would say, yeah, for me, when I lead that, I welcome folks who want to worship Jesus in that way to the table.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good. All are welcome, but no one is forcing you to worship in this way. Thank you for that, Kara. And I'm just, as we wrap up our time together, Daishan, I wanted to ask you a practical question. I heard Kara talk about, you know, there's a ring of wine, but also grape juice. Any considerations in terms of even the bread itself and food allergies? Do you take any practical steps in that way?
We have. We have a member who needs to eat gluten-free. So we tried gluten-free matzah for a little while, and it was thoroughly rejected. But even the person who is gluten-free said this should not be eaten. But we have gotten some gluten-free crackers that are for her. So we do make dietary accommodations as people let us know. And we make sure that everyone who wants to participate can participate.
Mm, yeah, that's good. You know, we were talking before we started the episode how, and you referred to this, Daishan, that we could try to plumb the depths of communion and do it daily and never reach the bottom of just being surprised and amazed and filled with wonder of how God meets us intimately, personally, with joy and strength to renew us for that day. And don't we just need more of that instead of less? And I think that's what we're communicating here today and encouraging pastors to consider that we want more of that, more of Jesus, even though he's not withheld any of himself from us. But we love coming to the table of fellowship. And I would love to clink glasses with you right now over the table of fellowship, but we're miles apart, but we share communion in the Father, Amen. Son, and Spirit. Amen. And so I want to thank you for your time. But before we go, we want to have a little bit of fun at someone's expense. That's a core value of GC Podcast. And so I'm going to pick on Kara a little bit. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you a series of questions. And I just want you to say the first word or phrase that comes to your mind. Fair enough?
All right. I'll do my best.
All right, Kara. Here we go. Favorite color?
Pink.
Favorite snack food?
Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its. All right. Well, that's 1 point subtracted. How about favorite word?
Pineapple. Not really my favorite word. It just came to me.
Okay. I was going to ask if there's a story behind it. Least favorite word.
Least favorite word? Schedule.
I'll keep that in mind. I'm just glad you're on time for the podcast. Okay, next question. Amen. Bucket list country you want to visit?
Oh, Vietnam.
Vietnam. What are you afraid of?
This is the first thing that came to mind. It's real. I'm afraid of drowning. I don't know how to swim.
You don't know how to swim?
No.
Your pastor should remedy this. That's on the list of to-dos, Daishan, for this year. Your all-time favorite movie.
Oh, I love so many movies. Coco is the first one that comes to mind from the bunch.
Okay, Coco. I haven't seen that one. I'm not sure I'm adding it to my bucket list, but let's move on. Name a book you are reading presently, if you are reading.
Oh, I'm reading Trevor Noah's Born a Crime.
Ooh. One word to describe Jesus.
Oh, he's amazing.
And finally, a nickname you had as a kid.
Kra.
All right, Kra.
Like Kara, just without the first A.
Kara. It's so good to know that. Oh, it's been such a delight to interview both of you. Thank you for your participation. And Daishan, if I may, I want to wrap up our time together. If you would say a word of prayer over our listening audience and our churches.
Sure. Father, Son, Spirit, we are just so grateful to you for the opportunity to lift up your name and worship you, Lord God, and to praise you with our words. Thank you for this podcast, and I pray that you would bless it to bear fruit. I thank you for Grace Communion International. Thank you for our story and our place in the body, Lord. I pray that you would bless our pastors to get a new revelation of communion, Lord. Wherever they are and however they think about it, please take them deeper in, Lord. There is no limit to the depths of you, Lord God. So please give each and every one of us and give our churches a desire to run after you, Lord God. Though you're not far from us, you're not pulling away from us, Lord, but we just want to go deeper and deeper into you. I pray that our observance of communion would reflect who you are, would make you more clear and more tangible and more real. And I pray that as our churches celebrate communion, we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers, that we would live in the reality of Jesus Christ, that we would live in the reality of his death and resurrection, that not only would we be transformed, but the people we encounter would be transformed. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Those were some fantastic insights from Pastor Daishan and Kara. What stood out to you, Joe, in what you heard?
You know, I really liked how Kara mentioned the items Jesus used were the ordinary things that is used in that day and age, bread, wine. Those were just ordinary items. And, you know, in the celebration of communion is this idea of finding the holy in the ordinary. We see God is present with us in the ordinary day-to-day moments. I thought that was a really good insight that really stood out to me.
It stood out to me, too. And I want you to know, Joe, you are not ordinary. You're no ordinary Joe. The God of the universe is doing extraordinary things through you. And I'm with you. How is it that God makes himself so present in the mundane, everyday, ordinary stuff of life? But thank you, Lord, that you do. Hey, brother, let's turn our attention to the next time that our global fellowship, Grace Communion International, will come together to celebrate relationships that many of us have had for years. It's the GCI Denominational Celebration. It's going to take place July 29th through August 2nd in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, Joe, tell the wonderful people who are listening how they can get more information.
You have got to be there, friends. Let me tell you, you can go to gci.org/events. And the focus this year is on hope. Who doesn't want more hope in their lives right now? Especially right now. I know, right? So we're going to share in communion together and fellowship and worship and grow together. And it's going to be an awesome time. You have got to be there.
I hear there's going to be a dance. Are you a dancer, Joe?
Bro, I can cut the rug like nobody's business.
We shall see. If you want to see Joe dance, come to the denominational celebration. My friends, we really appreciate you listening to us today. If you like what you heard, give us a rating wherever you listen to this podcast. It really does help get the word out and for others to join the conversation. Until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.